Welcome to the Roundtable Otaku Podcast, episode 16. I'm your host, Mr. A, and joining here with me is Brian from Yaparides.
Hello.
Yes. Hello. And joining, and on the other line, of course, is Jay from Yaparides also.
Round.
Yes. As you can see, Jay has some bit of audio and technical issues. So this will be a bit of a short podcast. We're gonna talk about ToyCon, the most abridged version you can hear. If you have been following the Ustream podcast that we did in the last 2 days, I think you already got the entire content of the ToyCon coverage we did. There will be a lot of posts that will deal about the ToyCon experience that we had. I just uploaded some of the videos. So let's do a bit of a bridge version of this ToyCon that happened in these past 2 days. We were recording on Monday. Thankfully, it's a holiday, so we have a chance to rest before we head out to the to our own work tomorrow. So let's talk about day one. So let's make it a bit short. The biggest main event that happened in the ToyCon on day one is of course the Asia Cosplay Group Cosplay Meet and the individual Asia Cosplay Meet, if not mistaken. So I believe Brian and Jay are the one who did this coverage. So I stayed at technical booth. So can you tell us? Can you tell me or tell the audience your experience? So let's start with Brian. So what do you found, what's your experience in watching the Asia Cosplay Meet? Did you watch the individual?
No, I didn't watch. Only the group follows cosplay.
I'm sorry?
Only the group cosplay. I've watched the group cosplay.
Yeah. Jade, I think you have watched the boat. Both of the cosplay, you know, except for the individual, the entire cosplay, group cosplay event.
Yes.
So that's a yes. So okay, let's start with Brian. So can you tell me what your experience, any particular group cosplay that stick to your mind up to now?
Actually, my mind is sticks on the third group. The third group that performed, although they're not the winner, their act is actually very good.
Can you repeat that? What's the cosplay group you're mentioning?
Again?
What's the cosplay group that you're mentioning?
I cannot understand.
What cosplay group did you mention? I wasn't able to hear that properly.
the third group, I think. Third group. I'll
before
check. Yeah, third.
Was it before the Madoka third cosplay?
No. The before the Madoka cosplay.
Can you describe the group cosplay what they did? I just watched the video, so I might be able to relate on what you are telling.
The people are actually cheering. There are more people that attended. I mean the spectators are much more many compared to last year's. Mm-hmm. Because the stage is quite, you know, very nice, nicely built with all those lights and all those expectations that the Toy-Con organizers gave.
Okay. Jason, Brian, what's wrong? It seems that you're a bit busy.
Again?
What you just said a while ago? You're mentioning that there are a lot of spectators, crowd. Are you saying that the third cosplay group is the crowd favorite on that event?
Yeah. In the first part, I think the first part they like the third group more, but because we have the latter group. Which I didn't watch the first part only. I watched it. I did not see the last group, so I cannot comment on the other groups. But the third group is very nice.
Well, can you describe what they did? Do you know? Do you remember? Do you remember what they did? Do you?
Hello.
Yeah, Brian, can you hear me?
Hello, yes.
Yeah. So, what I was saying a while ago, can you at least tell what they did? What cosplay did they did?
I think they did a game. I forgot what game it is, but it's actually good. Because it's in English. Yeah. It's in English, so probably it's a game. Did you know that, Jake? You know the game? You know the third group?
Was it that PSP what? Game?
The third group? Okay, so... I almost forgot. Wait.
Wait lang, I'm gonna search.
You all have a actually right here.
It's right at the tip of my tongue. There's this one group that I also watch, but if not mistaken, if I'm gonna compare the Asia Cosplay Meet group cosplay compared to the latter, the one that happened in the second day, most of the group cosplay in the Asia Cosplay Meet are more skit driven. So aside from doing the usual fight scenes or choreographed fight scenes, there are a lot of dialogues in there on the group cosplay that happened. Although most of what we see as an audience is just people, they're just standing around doing nothing. They're just doing their poses.
Actually, their dialogues are courtesy of the recorded ones.
Yes, they recorded from the episode.
They insert a clip from an anime, which is quite disappointed, but I'm expecting that they should, since it's an Asian cosplay meet and cosplayers are competing for an international cosplay, they should have been creating their own scripts. And then
yeah,
accompanied maybe accompanied by the music or what. Which is much.
Yeah, I somewhat agreed with that. If they're gonna do that, because usually if you look at it as a spectator, as a spectator in there, what they did mostly is just stand around and do nothing. They just wave their hands. Or if you remember how a PS2 RPG goes, if it's just a bunch of people standing around, and if there's a text there, it's like that. If I'm just reading something. That's what I see, because it's a far shot, so there's no emotion. If there's any drama there, I cannot see it. So they're
actually the actions are there, but okay, Jaya, I'm not discriminating, but the Madoka cosplay, I'm gonna particularize this because for the description, I'll do it. So the Madoka cosplay, they're doing the. But their faces are just bland. You know what bland means? The faces are quite nothing. No,
there's no expression.
Like, they're all faking.
Especially that scene is very dramatic. That's one of the dramatic scenes in the anime. And I guess they should at least shed a tear or something. That they show the expression. That's what I say. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel your pain. I feel your pain. Even the blogger page felt the pain. Yes, I was cut short. I almost forgot. Where are we now? We are in a cosplay, right? In the Madoka. Okay, I get it. So sorry, apologies.
So you're agreeing, Jay, with what Brian said?
I damn agree. Although I'm a Madoka. Not guy. We are perfectionists.
Yeah, because I did watch the what you were able to record on the tape. So yeah, if I look at it, I just see Madoka and Homura just lying there.
And Mami was hiding around. Then she shows Scooby, and then it's like, it's a puppet. This is a puppet. His name's Scooby.
Yes. There's not really much of a skit. They're just reenacting what they did in the anime, and I wish they have done more. But speaking of which, Jay, do you have any favorite Asia cosplay meet group cosplay
group?
What was the last group?
That was Tenshi no Mao.
I'm sorry?
Tenshi no Mao.
Can you? What's that? Was that the one?
That's the one that won. The Tenshi no Mao.
Can you describe the cost?
But yeah, on my assumption, they're good. But on the time frame that I watched the first half of the Asian cosplay, the third group really touched my heart. No, actually, touched my expectations for me.
Mm. Well, the audience can watch this group cosplay that happened. Thanks to Jay for recording it. We will be able to upload it to YouTube and post it on the site in the near future. So let's move on to the individual cosplay. I believe I'm the one who covered it. I see there around 100. Sorry,
and
Brian.
The fourth was quite disappointing.
Yes, because actually it's 130 cosplayers, and there are a lot of.
No, that was 190 plus. And almost
100. Yeah. 190.
Plus. 190 plus. Yeah.
There's a lot of cosplayers, and my tape doesn't have enough recordings left. Not enough minutes to record all of them, and there are a lot of quality. Which is what it literally means, quality, and quality as in what 4chan dubbed it quality cosplayers, because there are a lot of cosplay that are just bought from Comic Alley, and there are of course there's a lot of although no offense Jay on your friend, but there are but there are a lot of Naruto spams and Bleach. I know there's no Bleach. I haven't seen the Bleach. Mostly Naruto and at least not much L. There's only one L that appeared on the cosplay competition catwalk. And two Death Notes. Yes. So yes, are gonna say something, Jay? Jay, can you fix a bit the mic? I cannot hear you properly.
Okay.
Yeah, there.
Okay. Snip. So, okay, about the L cosplayer, we all know that L is a character from Death Note, and it shouldn't be shown to Philip. I think it shouldn't be shown to Philip, but that's another story. About the L cosplayer, that was... Every time you see an L cosplayer in a convention, it's he feels boring. It's like this is the second worse than Naruto or something.
You'll get the feeling that okay, I saw this last year. Okay, then you I think I saw this last year. Okay, it's not yet five.
Okay. I just remember
a new one. Mm-hmm. Okay, Mr. A, what?
No. No. Please continue. I'll just add later.
Okay. As I've said, it's like if you're a regular con watcher, you think you have seen this every time. For example, no offense to all Naruto cosplayers there, but yes, I've seen all of you. Different faces of Naruto. It's like when they're on one hall, it's like they're what's that move of Naruto? Yeah, the move of Naruto is there. What's that move of Naruto? I forgot. And not a Naruto punch.
Yes. But the complete yeah, they just gagibunshin all over the event hall.
Yeah, it's like. One has activated the Kagebunshin technique, and then they're all over the place.
times 10, as what the ABS-CBN dub says.
times 10, times 2, times 3, times 1, okay.
Well, anyway, to compliment what's about the a lot of Naruto spams that is happening in the con, I just watched the video. There's this group cosplay that talks... That they cosplay Tiger and Bunny, which is this is a new anime.
Yeah.
Actually, I like.
Yeah, I think the second group, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Although they wasn't much of a stellar, but I like their costume. So they did their best.
I have a photo. I'm gonna search for it.
So I saw a Gossick. But that's an individual part. So even though there are a lot of Naruto, at least there are some people are doing the new ones.
Unfortunately, I didn't saw Anohana or C. But if I saw C or either C only, I'll be freaking no.
I don't know how can you cosplay C? Maybe if you're Mashu or Q, maybe that's a part.
Yeah,
but...
Mashu or Q only. Yeah. But you're gonna cosplay something like George,
that's a bit hard. A bit what?
That would be a bit bulky.
Yes. So, so far, yeah, there's still a bit of gems. There are a lot of gems on the cosplay, individual cosplay. Especially Tomb Raider. There are some mecha cosplayers in there, which is are fine. But you can watch those, but not all of them, since there are a lot. You can watch a partial of the cosplay, individual cosplay at our site also. I'll just upload the video I just finished encoding it, so that's it. What else? What else?
At least the well-known, you know, the story last Ozenfest, the pervert photographer. At least
yes.
in the recent ToyCon, there's no as of now news of him.
Yes, because so it's maybe, just
maybe it's just a speculation. You can say it's a speculation.
Yeah, we have no idea on that part yet, but I just hope, let's just hope that the organizers were able to prevent this kind of people. Well, although we cannot prevent them outside the event hall, since a lot of the cosplayers are just are standing around the hall outside the convention area, because if they stay there inside, it will be a bit more cramped than it's used to. So, let's move on to the second day. So, Brian is not there, but I think Jay and I are there to witness it. And Jay did the band performances and talks about the panel discussion, which I would like to add that the panel discussion is a success in this ToyCon. A lot of people are interested in hearing the comic book artist to discuss about their art, their work, their inspirations, and doing their comics. Although sadly that the comic artists are not really working for the Philippine comic industry, they're more on the Marvel and DC, the US, which the comic industry in the US is vibrant enough to support itself, but not as I guess well known as the manga industry in Japan. Or so as I interpret it, as I see, because I'm not really much of a comic fan. But it was interesting talk. And in the second day, they lamented about how the Filipinos are not really putting too much pride on their artists. Especially when they said that, of course, artists are usually depicted or stereotyped as a dirty people that has not having shaved, haven't taken a bath, long hair. In short, they're somewhat mistaken as a terrorist. That's what the one of the panelists said. And if you're a Filipino and if you saw an artist like that, you usually don't get much of a respect as what an Americans did. If you told an American that you're an artist, especially if you're working on this big comic companies, they would respect you more than and they would even apologize if there's any rude things that they said to you. So that's one thing. I would like to hope that the coming future, the future cons will feature panel discussion. I just hope it will be anime oriented now. Maybe the next one is it the Ozenfest or I know Ozenfest already done, so the Cosplay Mania I think is the nearest one, and if there's any Hero Nation, then that will be another one thing to.
I think there will be a Ozen sponsored event, a sub event in the lab.
Yeah.
Maybe July, just like last year. I don't know if they will do it this year, but I don't know. That's good.
So moving on with the group cosplay for the ToyCon, the ToyCon organizers' own group cosplay that happened on the second day. It's kind of weird why there are two group cosplay competition. Why don't they just let the Asia cosplay competition just be as the ToyCon's main attraction? They have this another group cosplay, and unlike the previous day, as I watched in the video, most of the group cosplay are composed of fighting scenes, a fight choreography, and very few dialogues. So mostly gonna get a lot of action. Although I cannot really much call that an action per se, but it's an action. I remembered when we Jay and I were talking about the group cosplay. I just remembered one cosplay group that I didn't mention on the special coverage. It's the Plant vs. Zombies cosplay. They're the one that did the dance number.
So we have Plants vs. Zombies. Next.
Yes. Yes.
Next.
But they dance, actually. They did a very good dance. So, since there's really not much, you cannot expect zombies to fight. So, they just did this dance, and it was a very fun, entertaining skit, if I can call it that.
That was funny?
Yes, it was it was a very entertaining skit that they did.
What did they dance?
I cannot really remember what they did. I mean, what they danced. So I'll just leave it to the viewers, the readers, the listeners to watch our recording on the dermove.com website. As you can see, this show is mostly plugs, it seems, of our upcoming post of our upcoming barrage of ToyCon post. ToyCon coverage. So we haven't started yet since I'm still busy preparing all the materials needed. So we may have additional discussion maybe when the proper times come. Ajisan might be leaving in a short while. So let's rank out. Let's give a quick verdict on the recent concluded ToyCon coverage. So let's put in the numbers. So for 1 to 5, five is the best. So let's start with Brian. How do you rate this year's ToyCon?
Okay. Me?
Yes. From the scale of 1 to 5.
5 is the highest. If 5
yes.
is the highest, okay. I think 4.1.
No, we shouldn't do much of the decimal. So let's round it off. So you're saying 4.
4. More 4.
If, so can you...
I'm basing this on my verdict last year. I compare this with last year. And if you're going to grade this convention compared to the last year's convention, it will be...
Mm-hmm.
4.
Four.
But if you're gonna base it on other international conventions, it will be 3. Why?
3.
Because there is still a little bit of international participation that I saw. Yeah, the constellation is actually international partnered, but the international artists like Japanese artists or what are there. It's a 3.
Okay, Jay, how would you rank this event, this ToyCon event?
The ToyCon event is impressive. It's the 10th anniversary, and number 2, we got our first coverage there as Dermoy, the Dermoy project. So that was a big milestone for us here at Dermoy.
Yes.
Hey.
And the second event, we have 3 holes. Unlike last year's 2 halls, we had 3 halls. And another thing is I've got to cover using a borrowed webcam from Mr. A himself. And then I experienced how it feels to be shooting.
Yes.
Ball.
Yes.
That was,
covering the action for the sake of the readers who are not attending the event or who cannot go to the event. So we're the front lines. If you're sick of going to these kinds of cons, we are here to spare you the trouble. So Jay, how do you rank this event?
Okay, from a scale to 5, I rank it as a 4.5 because
remember Jay, we're not using decimals here, so is it a 4?
Let's round it up to the 5.
So you're saying it's a perfect event, so So this is the most awesome event that you have ever attended in your life. Is that what you're saying?
I told you it was a 4.5, so not much, but it's 5. Not perfect, because not perfect. It's not perfect, but it's the greatest.
Greatest.
One of the best moments in life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, if you're gonna rank this, I'm much of a very critical critical person when it comes to cons. So I've experienced being with the technical boot on the day one, where the Anime Alliance and the organizers are really scrambling left and right to just manage this chaos that has been given to them. What they signed up for. I can feel their pains, their hardships.
Kudos to Anime Alliance for this event.
Yeah, we're not saying this because they let us do a special coverage or they gave us a place to do the technical area, but yes, I'm Jay.
It's our own opinion. This is us. We are the
darn yes. So aside from that, although it's not a perfect event. How can I say this? The cosplay competition is it composes of good and bad types of cosplayers. Of course, there's the judges that will do these. That will choose the best cosplayers among the hundreds that participated. Organization wise, it was a very organized event. If we cannot really prevent death, we cannot really prevent conflicts happening in the event. So far, we haven't heard any cosplayers having any disputes over there. Although there are disputes I've heard, but that's not really much of a important part here. So if I'm gonna rank this, I will go with Brian and give it a 4. So it was a good event. It's not perfect. I can forgive the organizers for having us to stand on the group cosplay that happened yesterday, the day 2. I understand this is a request for the cosplay nation. Maybe because they want to have a perception of that there are a lot of people watching the event. So I forgive them. So I'm gonna give it a 4. So that's it. I think 4, 4, and 5 for the ToyCon. I guess that means that we did enjoy this momentous occasion, this epic event that happened this year. One of the best. So, since this is a Roundtable Otaku podcast, so let's do the usual anime reviews. So, Brian, do we still have time?
I'm okay for a long podcast. They left me behind.
So we're gonna do two reviews. Kuro, as you can see, Kuro is not here. He's off doing an anime marathon with Ghost Lightning. So he chose Ghost Lightning to us, but we can understand it's Ghost Lightning. It's his idol, and he needs to pamper him for having his having Ghost Lightning's bet lost the Saimeka. So yeah, because Kuro's bet won, right? The Eva 1 unit, it won in the Saimeka contest. So I guess he needs to pamper Ghost Lightning for his loss. So let's move on to Anohana episode.
He will treat Ghost Lightning.
Yes. I hope so. So we're gonna hear about. Yeah, we're gonna hear about Kuro's experience maybe on the next episode of the on the Roundtable Talk podcast. So let's start with the anime review, starting with Anohana episode. Where are we? Ten. Yeah. So this is the second to the final episode of Anohana. So. Who should start?
One word. I'm gonna say
yes.
One word. What?
Yes. What? What happened? It was a very beautiful episode, actually. So, can you describe, Jason? What do you feel when you watch this episode?
I'm jolted. You know the feeling of jolted? That you know that Anohana, they're all expecting that Menma is will be going to heaven when they lift off the fireworks. But unfortunately, Menma is still on Earth.
Yes, it's a good anticlimax.
Yes.
And that's what rumbles my mind. Is it caused by Menma? Is it caused whether Menma's wish was not really the fireworks, or it was because of Jin San who wished to be with Menma forever?
And oh boy, you see how Yukiatsu is pissed and when he found out that Menma is still there?
Yeah.
because if I'm gonna go to Yukiatsu's shoes, he wants Menma to be gone just for Jinta to not have Jinta Menma for himself. So if Yukiatsu will not have Menma for himself, he might as well give Menma away for Jinta just to maybe screw him. No, or just rather, just let everybody level out in this conflict that's been dealing for 10 years now.
Yeah.
Before that anticlimax that happened, a lot of emotions were poured out here. Even Suruko started to break down.
Yeah,
he was the most well established character. She has this firm stance that she can stand Yukiatsu's Yukiatsu's endless pursuit of Menma.
Should I say obsession?
Yes, yeah, that's the right word. Obsession with Menma, and now that even she started to have a bit of jealousy over Anaru now,
I think that was clarified. I mean, they had a conversation, you know, on the bridge that where she said to Anaru that she loves Yukiatsu, but she thinks that Yukiatsu doesn't love her because even though she and Yukiatsu are the ones like close friends, Yukiatsu considered Anaru more moving on element for Menma.
Yeah. More, if we gonna describe this in Tagalog, it will be like Anaru will be the panakip butas for Yukiatsu. If that's the expression that I said.
The back of plan.
I'm sorry?
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, what did you said?
The backup plan.
Yes. The backup. Yeah. I don't really know how, why. Maybe Suruko is not trying hard, or she's not really much pushing toward Yukiatsu. She's just standing there doing nothing much. She doesn't have that. She doesn't bring much attention to Yukiatsu in terms of showing his feelings. Although in the end, I think, if I remember, she finally confessed to Yukiatsu, I guess. And I don't know what Yukiatsu will do in this part. Let me see. Of course, we have Jinta here that is really...
I'm starting to compare Jintan with Kimimaro. They're both confused minds.
I'm sorry, they're both
confused minds.
Ah, yes. But yeah, because
later on, you'll say that Kimi Maro has changed later.
Yeah, we can say, but Jintan is really it's really hard because she has this moment that he's already has Menma here, and we shouldn't forget that even how you cast is such a jerk for recreating the scene the last moment of Menma in front of her, in front of everybody. It finally comes to the point that even he already confessed to Menma, and from that point he just want Menma to be there with him forever if that's possible, but at the same time he wants Menma to be sent off to heaven. Yeah, we can see that I'm sorry, please continue.
And there's, as we all know, there's a connection between Menma and Jintan's mother.
Yes, and I think that wish really makes off on what discussion Menma and her mother had.
Yeah.
Particularly on the reincarnation part. I think something to do with that.
Yeah. And maybe I'm thinking, who will be the reincarnation?
I'm sorry?
I'm thinking who will be the reincarnation.
Yeah, that's the problem because the conversation was stopped at some point and we don't really know much of the details. And sadly I think we will not be able to see how did Menma really died. We know that he fell, but how? That's the problem. We won't much seeing it on the last episode.
And the fault that he actually say it because he says that it's my fault why Menma died or what, because as we all know. Yuki Yatsu confessed with Menma.
Mm-hmm.
On the previous episodes on that day. So after that scene, it was cut. What happened? Did Yuki Yatsu unleash his powers and then trip over Menma that caused her death, or did Menma accidentally?
Yeah, we don't really know. Some of the speculations around in the internet says that Suruko may have something to do with it, on Menma's death. But we really don't know, and I doubt that we will really know, on the last episode this week. Sadly enough, but the last episode will be the deal breaker in this. Everything from episode 1 to episode 10, it was the pacing is well done for 11 episode for a Noitama slot. It doesn't have that problem where in Fractal it's just collapse near the end. The characters, despite how many they are, they all develop in a pace that even at 26 in a pace that a 26 episode would take. Because what they did is they have everybody in the same episode. I mean, everybody on one episode, and they just collapse. They just go and show their characters. And let me see. For some last thing, I should add that we had. I literally like how the mother of Menma and his brother also appeared in the last scene where they have to set the fireworks. Even her mother was there, baby. Oh, although he was in the car with his father, with Menma's father. Yes, if I'm mistaken. And I don't really know how would the younger brother take that Menma is actually there. Although the scene with Menma hugging his brother. It's one of those how should I say, one of the touchy scenes in that episode that even for me it shed a little bit of tear. A man tear.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Actually, just... I like that episode. I mean, I like that scene because it shows that. Menma really loves her father. And then she doesn't want them to be hurt. That's why when, as you know, that Menma doesn't want Jindan and the gang go to her house because she knows that her mother will just be full of sad emotions.
Yeah, but thanks to the younger brother for giving his mother a little bit of an eye opener, right? When he mentioned that you know I'm already 162 centimeters tall now. Did you know that, Mom? that dialogue really just pierced to the heart of the mother because she just realized that. Says she's really stuck to the past that she already forgot that he has a son. She has a son. So
yeah, that's what her brother says on the thing that my mom has. I think my mom has forgotten me because she always thinks about Menma and she doesn't even know my. Doesn't care about me. That's what Menma's brother is thinking. That actually moved on that episode.
Yeah. So in short, this episode of Anohan is really something that it is really boiling out to the final conclusion to the story. And we hope that this will be. And maybe I'm going for a bittersweet ending, like Madoka did. But there's really one thing that I'm sure of. Since if we're gonna give the series the benefit of the doubt that it will pull out an awesome ending, a lot of tears will be shed in this final episode, and I'm kind of ready for that. And if it did, I would really be happy. This is one of the best anime this year that happened next to Madoka. So I'm really, really excited. It's just 4 days until the next episode.
Yes. And we need a countdown.
Yeah. Jay, I think you just unmuted yourself. Are you gonna say something?
I feel great after you said that. After you said that Madoka thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Just have a sweet ending. And, I think I'll watch it in the interwebs next week morning, am I right? So what is the scheduled time for it? Based on the subs?
It would be safe to guess on Saturday. Saturday would be the best.
Saturday would be the best. I have great time.
You have to watch time left.
But I hope that Yuki Hatsu has changed.
He did change to being a brutally honest jerk. What he is. So he's brutally honest jerk. So.
Okay, so I was looking at the Madoka cosplay group pictures. Well,
okay. So gonna move on to where are we? Gonna move on to see later. Maybe next.
That was a long discussion here. What's next?
Gonna talk about C, Manin Son Possibility Control. Or you when I wrote the previous episode review, the episode where are we? As in I think lost. I'm sorry? What are you gonna say, AJ?
Singapore was lost. What
country? Yes, Yes, there will be no A of A in the financial district world, it seems. So in this episode, yes, we see the turning point where Kimimaro and yoga. Oh no, Mikuni. The three sides conflict. I mean, goes to the final conclusion. Because
and the conclusion is that what we are talking about in the previous episodes of the Roundtable of Tacos, if whether Kimimaro will side with Mikuni or will side with Jennifer, she sided with Jennifer because she thinks that losing the future will lose everything, even though it's in the present.
Yes, because
and Kimimaro knows that if the phenomenon, I mean, the act that Mikuni is doing continues, Mashi will probably be gone because it is clear that she is Kimimaro's future. So, and Mikuni is leeching all the future behind.
Mm-hmm. That's true, because if you're gonna go with Kuro's theory, because what he did is he's saying that Mikuni's actions are driven because he wants to preserve his sister's present, because his sister's future is really uncertain, because we don't know if he's gonna die the next day or not. If you remember the flashback episode of Mikuni and his sister, because he mentioned that that she doesn't really have much of a bright future. Next day, tomorrow, he might not live, or something. But Mikuni, he's still, if next year he's still there, gonna live. But his sister is not. His future is uncertain, and Mikuni's actions are driven for that, if we can theorize it like that. So he is really sacrificing the future of the entire country just for that, for his sister.
Yes.
And even to the point that,
and he's covering it up with the term to balance the economy.
Yes. And what is,
he is destroying everything.
Yes, that's true.
Because,
I'll continue.
Okay, continue.
Ah, okay. So, in the previous episode, two episodes ago, we're talking about deficit spending, if not mistaken, where countries overspend, and taking the burden to the future generations. So that's the lesson in the two episodes ago. And in this episode, which I think I just wrote about, and that particular two episodes ago, is the high inflation, where because if we recall that the money really is not really, is the paper itself, the money where we pay, is not really something of a value. It's not, we're not really paying money. What we're paying is trust. What the money constitute is the trust. The trust that you have given to a particular entity instead. This is what that's the philosophy behind the money, as what the C theorizes it. Now, in order to beat Mikuni on this, on his game, you know, on how to make and how to save the future of Japan, is that we need to minimize or to lose the trust of the yen. So in short, we have to hyperinflate it. In what he says, Islam is a rapid surge, I guess. This is an economic term on a rapid rise in inflation. And inflation is usually caused by printing a lot of money, where its value degrades with its as you put it more. So one of the causes, of course, this is actually the what Mikuni is already doing is giving a lot of inflation on the country for circulating a lot of Midas money for saving for answering all on the debt of the economy that Japan is facing at the moment there. Now, what the broker, the information broker, did is he just gives money. He just gives money like it's nothing. So the value of yen really stopped. It turned to something like we call Mickey Mouse money in the World War II. So the value of yen just really degrades so much that you just have to that goods really are very much expensive. So that's really what happened. And in theory, this will weaken the health points that Mikuni has. Even though he has a lot of funds, what will happen is that that maybe the attack that will be done will be double than what they used to. So we don't really know, but how should I say this? The fight with Jennifer Sato is really one of the interesting part because Q's special ability.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah, I agree with you. It's a very interesting part because Jennifer is actually entrusted everything to Himimaro because he knows everything. She knows everything.
Correct. Mikuni's asset has this ability called cannibalism. And Kuro wrote in his blog about this that he thinks that how does Mikuni has a lot of assets compared to other entries that who usually have one. So in this episode we have revealed two ways on how to get or two possible ways to get a additional asset. So of course one is the sure thing because Sato just gave Kimimaro his asset before he was cannibalized by Q.
The act you are mine. You're giving your asset to a person like what they did.
Yes. And for Mikuni's part, we are not sure because we never really see how it happened. The cannibalism might entitles Mikuni to own an additional asset by devouring its entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So we're not really sure about that, but that's what happened. So in order, if I'm not mistaken, so here's the plan, and here's what Sato wants to happen. So what they did is, of course, they destroyed the value of yen, so the financial district will be a bit weaker, and then before the settlement sets in, so they have to reverse the Midas money, the Midas bank.
To pull out
the Midas money, if not mistaken. So the only people that can do that is Mikuni, because he has the black card.
But later on they discovered that Himimaro has a black card as well.
Yes, it's very contradicting. It's very convenient how that happened because yes, this is how C really presents itself. What it does is it just gives us. We've already mentioned this a lot of times in this podcast that what C does is really just show the results of this fight. We're just sitting back with the experience without really knowing what really happened. We just enjoy the pretty pictures, the pretty fights that is really happening in that financial district, and we really don't know what are the conditions that makes an entry possible to get this black card. Is it because you need a lot of money? Maybe defeating one of the top Starling Guild members enables Kimimaro to own enough power to get the black card? Is that what it is?
I think the cause of Kimimaro having the black card is that Masakaki, or the one who gave him the Midas card, knows that he has the potential and the past of, I mean, the descendant of Mikuni, I mean, Himimaro is his father. I mean, he cannot represent that. I don't know. Everybody. What term is it?
I'm not really in
connection with his father. Because as you all know, as they say, Mikun's father is quite strong and considered as one of the strong entries of that in his era until he was defeated by Mikuni.
I don't really know much if Masakaki is really siding. Because if we can see how Singapore really, the Masakaki of Singapore, of the ASEAN district, really doesn't really much care on what will happen. It lets the financial district just devour itself. And I really like what happened also in the American side, because there are a lot of super entry and they just bounce back the sea.
Masakaki in the North American district is English.
Yeah. They just push back the phenomena and went and throw it back to Japan.
It means that the economy of, I mean, the financial district of America is strong.
Super strong.
Super strong.
And because they have super entry. Super entrepreneurs.
Yeah, they're super entry. And there's I'm supposing that it was caused by another entry as well who acted upon the American financial district, just like what Mikuni did. But on another way.
Yeah.
It can be.
I mean, you don't know. Maybe we can have an OVA or another C that will talk about the other financial districts. Because there are really stories involved in C.
Love to play a game with this. If the makers of this develop a game, an online RPG, where you can create your own entry and then you can go on another, every district of the world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, this is. If we could look at the C's universe, yes, it's possible to do a MMORPG of this. A lot of worlds, yes, a lot of things to explore. We can have a lot of Pokemon battles here, if wanted. So,
much more cooler than Pokemon.
Yes, much, much cooler. Especially the Angel. Especially the Super Du... Micro Mezzo Macro Attack of...
the moves. You know the moves.
Yeah. You know, one of the really the best things, the best fights in C is really because how it was really that disemboweled voice is saying open deal or micro mezzo map. Especially the last part where they pull out the super duper attack, especially in Mashu's case, he just points an iron cannon. If you are playing generals or Tiberian Sun. It's just pull of an iron cannon of, made of fire from the sky and just devoured the entry of the Starling Guild. You can really feel the massive force of that attack. Especially if you're gonna look at how many macro micro meso things that was being said in that attack.
Okay.
You are back.
Okay. Okay, shall I call it a satiro finale?
We can say that.
So, I know I have speculations of myself. Like, C is the best style Madoka Magica.
We can say that, but unlike Madoka Magica that talks about the deconstruction of a certain genre, C is not really much of a deconstructionism. That's really... talks about or just doesn't put the physics of reality. If I'm gonna look at C is something like it's a shonen style economics where the economic concepts are being told into something that is entertaining in the sense that people are rather entertained and learn at the same time.
Okay, I think you sound like Radio Here A.
Oh.
I sound like you were in a radio show. We were in a radio show, right? Radio show. Yeah.
Yeah. We're gonna sound like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, in my honest opinion, see, I haven't watched this. I just observed this. But what episode are we doing now? I was not listening.
I actually don't know what episode it is. Let me check. CCC is around 10. So we're already so down to 10. Yes. True. And this is a Noitama.
So Noitame. Yeah, so we repeat after me.
Noitame na.
Okay.
This is of course set in scheduled for 11 episodes. So we're down to 1 episode.
Dun.
1 episode. Yeah, so this will be a bit of a little bit harder, unlike Anohana, because C is not really best at its pacing. Because, yes, we can actually say, I can say that the black card, the presentation of black card, is a little bit too convenient for happening. Because the development that so far is really a bit off, because sometimes it's leaning a bit. Of leaning away, looking at the sea, the financial district. Then it goes again. It goes discussing Kimimaro's past. Then we get Mikuni. It just bounce off everywhere. But the saving grace on this series is the amazing setting, which it really utilizes it to its full extent, and the fight scenes especially. And let's also add how the concept of the economics is also put out. So the only problem is really the pacing. So what left is how to end this properly is a bit of a difficult thing to predict at this moment. So we'll just have to look for this and have this reviewed maybe on the next episode and see if this anime deserves a recognition in this 2011's best anime.
Mm-hmm. I almost agree. Yes, because C is a lot more different. Okay, C is a lot more different from anime that we usually watch. It's a business style anime, and the second part is we have deals. We have these catchphrases, we have these techniques, we have this, what shall we call it, supersonic powers or something. So this
yes,
is quite different.
Mm-hmm, that's true. Yes, open deal. Yeah.
Open deal, deal.
I wish I can do those voices. Maybe I should enroll with creative voices, and maybe I can awake those kinds of voice profiles. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I think Brian, you still haven't catch up with Dog Days yet, right?
Not yet.
Yeah. So we're gonna discuss. Actually, we're gonna review it. I think Dog Days has just ended. I got 12 episodes.
Okay.
And
I'm just gonna say my thoughts on. Question for you on basing on the last episode.
I haven't really watched the final episode. I'm still at episode 10 because the summer that I had just uploaded I think 4 episodes, so I have to just catch up a little bit. But so far it's a battle royale. A lot of fighting is happening here on the final arc, as I say. And did really Princess Migliore, I think Migliore or Biscotti, did she die? Yes, it's a question. Did she die or did Shinku die as well? Well, we will just discuss that in the review. Probably on the next episode. So a lot of animes are going to end this week, if not mistaken. I think I will have enough time to cover other animes here. There. So.
Yeah, basically.
I'm sorry?
Busy.
Yeah, we'll see. So, anything left before we can close the show? None?
Wait a minute. We have to close the show? How about Azazel-san?
Okay, I think... Yeah, okay. We're gonna do that. Since Jay and I just watched it yesterday... we already had this discussion with Kuro. How Azazel-san is a very unique anime. It comes to doing comedy. So far there are two anime in this year that provided a very unique taste of comedy. We have the troll comedy of Level E, and now we got Azazel-san. I usually compare Azazel-san as a comedy manga that you usually wouldn't really see on a typical shonen comedy like Gintama. Because the jokes there is, how should I say this? It's something that you wouldn't really, have kids see, in a sense. The jokes are a bit rather offensive if you look at it. Especially if you're gonna go a little bit far in the episode. And I think the latest episode that we watched, Jay, is also exposed to that. Right? So, what can you say about this latest episode? I think this is also your first time watching. For people who are just tuning in for the Azazel-san, usually... This is most likely a episodic series, so it doesn't really matter on where part you started in. There isn't really much of a story when it comes to characters, so yeah. Every episode is mostly standalone. So, Jay, what are your impressions on watching Azazel-san?
Okay, so let's start with the start of the episode, and we've got this beautiful girl in costume, and then a Penguin talks to her. It's like, we have a problem. Houston, we got a problem. And it's like, she replies, it's okay, I got this. And then we've got the old hag.
Yes.
It's kind of funny.
Yes, she's really such a very skilled landlady. She really knows everywhere the food is, where the money is. I don't know, she has this sixth sense of sorts, and she doesn't really, and I think she's somewhat of a skilled master in the arts in kung fu or what kind of art he's doing.
So right? we also have this lizard, which is kind of dominant, shall we say dominant,
yes,
anti-feminist.
Yeah, because he
anti-feminism. Yeah,
because he represents, I guess,
Japan
pride
in the 1940s.
That demon represents, I guess, pride. So in the man's pride, of course, women are not really much given rank, so he's very traditional in a sense.
There, we also have this angel. He's a mountain angel.
Yeah,
his face is funny, and then so we've got this flower and the mountain angel season, and then he was like him staring at your beauty, and then he would eat it.
That is true.
And then we've got these two kids who were watching him. It's like, What did you do? And I was like, I'm okay, you son of a... that was really silly. That was really silly.
Did you also notice that the kids are drawn ugly as well?
What?
Did you also notice that the kids are drawn ugly as well? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the strong points actually in Azazel San. If you are pregnant, let's say if you're pregnant, you shouldn't really watch this kind of anime, especially this particular anime, because most of the faces here, except for the main characters, are really drawn in this outmost beastly manner. So if you don't want your kids to look like those people, you shouldn't really watch this anime. That's one of the best, because they're really drawn horribly, in a positive way, because it was really intended like that. So okay. I'm sorry to put you off a little bit on your momentum, Jay. Can you continue?
Okay. So, aside from the kids, and the dominant lizard, I have nothing to say because this is a 15-minute short. But I would like to see on the next episode, the girl protagonist to try to change the manners, the old hag herself.
Yeah, because the scenario here is really focused on the landlady, because the landlady is the how should I say this? Well, the episode goes with the landlady and how to make her a bit more tolerable in this manner on what was presented, because she's just that grandma that you don't want to mess with, or that grandmother that you really don't want to have. So anything else to add about Yondere Masyo Azazel San?
The Master Sun. Okay, as I watch it, it's cool. I want to watch again.
Yep. So I don't remember how many episodes this anime is. It's really what really negative here, or what I really what I'm disappointed in Azazel San is it's only 11, or I think around 12, 15 episodes long. It would have been nice if they can feature two skits on a full length 30-minute show, but sadly they didn't do that. So, but still, it also plays on the comedy of the series, because comedy usually goes around in perfect timing, it needs a lot of perfect conditions to be met. Comedy jokes are usually given in a proper timing, in a proper duration. So short jokes usually goes in a good impression than jokes that are really pulled off in long sense, and this is one of the weakness of the anime Nichijou, if you are watching. And sad, and even Kuro is I don't know really why, how Kuro is really enjoying this anime, and I don't really see much of enjoyment there, but it's still tolerable for me to watch. So maybe we're gonna discuss a lot of anime reviews on the next episode. We're gonna record, I guess, on Sunday. So, anything else? Anything to add? Anything about the ToyCon? Anything?
Nothing. Because we have already discussed it on the video edit. So please check us out, and do me a favor.
Yep.
Do me a favor about the video. I want to see that. Let's say one by one. How is that? 18 minutes? 15 minutes for YouTube video? Is that okay?
Yeah, okay. What do you mean? What do you mean?
The group cosplay, shall we put it as a segment or as a whole?
Nah, the group, the ACM cosplay is segregated by group. The group one is uploaded in bulk, so you can watch the full length there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So shall we close this? Show?
Yeah.
Okay, let me Brian, is there anything to add? Anything you want
none.
To say before we
none.
None.
Okay, you can go to show.
Yeah, I don't really, it seems that your mother is not going to the airport, or they're still busy packing up.
No, she has already left.
Oh, I see. So let's close this up. So you can watch this episode, or actually not watch. You can listen to this episode at thedermowe.com. You can download it. So my Twitter, I guess, is my Twitter is at Solidad. That's SOLIDAD. Brian, where can you be found aside from your home?
I can be found on the streets of Manila.
Jay is out, so Jay can be found at his site at tcmanila.blogspot.com
or his Twitter account at twitter.com/tcmanila.
He can also be seen writing at the Yapri Desk site.
Of course, he's there, and he's writing his friendly music. Okay.
So, let's wrap this up. You're listening to the Roundtable Otaku Podcast, episode 16. Jamadane.
Konnichiwa.
Melody, 雪が降ったそばにいる